to welcome every single one of you to tonight's webinar on celebrating our work through storytelling. It's a series with CORE Volunteer Training. I know a lot of you have been on many of the calls these last 3 months, a weekly webinar program that we've been providing to support especially our newer volunteers, connect with each other around the larger world, empowering you towards your goals in larger climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight we're really, really lucky. We get to have CCL's own founder and president, Marshall Saunders, join us for that celebration. I'm not going to do justice for Marshall's full biography, but let me just say that Marshall has spoken at more than 300 service clubs in dozens of countries and at 5 Rotary International Conventions. He is the founder and former chairman of the board of Grameen de la Frontera, a microcredit lender in Sonora, Mexico, that's made more than 10,000 loans to poor women of rural Mexico, and has served on that board of directors of several microcredit organizations, including Grameen de la Frontera. That we are so honored to have you tonight join us, Marshall, and find out more about your early origin in just a moment. The three main points that we're looking forward to passing on tonight, if we've done our job well, are just having a chance to review why storytelling still matters in today's age and what makes a good story. We're looking forward to celebrating those origins and the journey that CCL's been on as an organization from its first days with Marshall. And then we'll look forward to having a chance to practice sharing our stories of change and transformation with each other. We have a simple agenda. We're going to share a quick review of the power of stories, how they inspire change. Then we'll get to Marshall, and then we'll have a robust Q&A discussion. I know a couple of people asked questions ahead of time, and then a chance to share our own stories. So with that, let's start right out. Who here doesn't love stories, right? We're probably all here tonight for that very celebration. And to ground our own discussion tonight, I think what's really powerful is just to remember that stories have an age-old tradition, and even in our modern pop culture, they surround us with how we learn and listen. They're part of our cultural lexicon, and they all, really the powerful ones, have a similar element, their hero's journey, which is a really great basis for storytelling. If you aren't familiar with the hero's journey, and all of you are on your own journey as heroes, it stems from the work of Joseph Campbell, a mythologist. And here's a really powerful visual for it. It's an arc. Campbell became famous as a researcher for writing this book, A Hero with a Thousand Faces. And in that book, he discovered that there's a lot of common themes and patterns that run through our favorite stories for generations and generations, from Homer's Iliad and Odyssey all the way through Star Wars, The Matrix, and The Wizard of Oz. And this graphic arc really traces that pattern that Campbell distilled down after years of research. He calls that structure the monomyth. And we're not going to get into mythology for too much tonight, but I did want to highlight that a couple of common themes we all can learn from our own storytelling are the following. You can see here at the very top that as heroes, we're all called to adventure and stepping into our own advocacy with CCL, perhaps. You can see that maybe many of us are still on this early part of our journey with CCL, and the hero often feels unlikely. They don't feel like maybe they're even called for that purpose initially that they're being called into. Then the hero goes through some sort of conflict, and then a transition from the world that they used to be in into the new world that they find themselves in now. They meet helpers and mentors along the way in that transition, and ultimately they deliver or return to the place that they began, but transformed. And I think that's really the key of what we're all going to walk away with tonight in reflecting in our own hero's journeys. And we'll touch on that in just a little bit. But if we had to distill it down to the three words, what makes a good story, here they are. Anyone's personal journey can be simplified into this three-step approach. What happened before? What happened afterwards, and how did that change? Explaining that change. If you really want to dive into not only the elements of a framework with an effective story, but also the purpose of it, let's jump into really reminding ourselves, why are we even talking about this? Why bother tonight? Well, there's a lot of powerful quotes out there that remind us that effective storytelling can change opinions, can inspire those that we tell these stories to achieve goals that they don't even think might be possible, and demonstrate empowerment of how we can change things for the better. This quote by Michael Margolis is one that I absolutely love. The stories we tell literally make the world around us. If you want to change the world, you need to change your story. And if you remember, that's very much at the heart of what Marshall and the early foundation of CCL was all about, to provide that very purpose to empower all of us as individuals to experience breakthroughs in exercising our own personal and political power. At this point, we know that tonight's purpose is in storytelling is to really help you realize that you are already on your own journey, that you're already experiencing great breakthroughs, and let's find ways to really crystallize those and convey those to others in your life to help captivate the magic that you're feeling in your advocacy and bringing them along with you to help transform our world as we need it to be. What's your aim as a storyteller? Well, the real goal is being able to think about how you can transform your listening audience. And ultimately, you want to change the way that they react and think about this issue of climate change. You can think about how you can change them in thinking about this differently and how they feel about it and seeing ways that they can maybe visualize acting differently and becoming more engaged on this topic. They're all connected, but thinking about how and what you want to change in your audience can help you develop your own story more effectively. And remembering, the most effective storytelling doesn't just push information out at people, but it pulls them in. So one quote I love that really demonstrates that is, if you tell me it, it's an essay, but if you show me, it's a story. So with that, one last tip I'll just throw out here, and then we'll pass it to you, Marshall, is this. CCL prides itself in being nonpartisan and in building relationships on common ground. And stories help us identify and really spotlight these shared values. So if you can convey in your story what captures your audience's emotions on those levels and captures values that you share with them, you will automatically be much more likely to be able to access that change behavior that you're looking to empower them to tap into. So with that, I'll just remind people that in two slides after Marshall, we'll have a chance for all of you to share your own stories and really to help start thinking about how CCL's involvement in your own life has led you to unknown places of transformation and empowerment. But with that, before we get there, I'll pass it to you, Marshall, and we look forward to hearing more of the early background about CCL's origin.
Okay, thank you, Brett. Great. Well, hello, everybody. Good evening. So basically, I'm going to tell you how I learned how to lobby Congress and the media, and how I found out that I even could do that. It just had never occurred to me. I had not done anything political. I think one time I wrote a letter to the city about the traffic out in front of our house. You know, there's a guy with a world view, huh? But that's the only thing I had ever done of a political nature. And in the early 1990s, I was at a Rotary Club, and I started talking to Rotary Clubs about village banking. That's a village bank is a group of about 25 or 30 women. They meet every week, or at the most every 2 weeks. They sit in a circle, and the staff comes around and makes them a loan, and then every week or 2 weeks, whatever it is, they come to pick up a loan payment. And each woman takes out a loan of about $100 to $200, that's how it goes. And then in about 1991 or 92, I was in Costa Rica making loans with an organization called Finca International. And when the day was complete, we went back to the place we were staying, and there was a message for me. And it said that I was invited to be on a radio talk show in San Diego the next morning, you know, from Costa Rica. And who was going to be on the call with me was Sam Daly Harris, the founder of Results. In the interview, Sam said that by lobbying the Congress, his organization had raised $250 million for microcredit loans. $250 million. Well, I'd been working very hard with a lot of Rotarians and the Rotary Foundation, and we had raised far less. And so, frankly, I didn't believe him. I was disposed to not believe him. And then, for whatever reason, I was a little miffed about it. Later on, after I'd gotten back up to San Diego, and I realized or found out that the $250 million that Results had raised for these little village banks was true. And so what was there for me to do but to join Results, join them, find out what they were doing, essentially how to lobby the Congress and how to lobby the media, and see how big of a contribution I could make. And it was going great. And everything was just going along happily. And as I say, I was making the difference I was proud of. And then one evening, just a regular, maybe Friday evening, and Pam and I thought, well, let's go to the movie. And I persuaded her that we should go see a movie called The Inconvenient Truth. And I was just blown away by what I saw. And a few days later, I went back to see it by myself. Then a few days later, a friend, Bruce Underhill, who was a Results partner, asked me to go with a group of Results people. And, you know, though it was the third time inside of 2 weeks, I went. And I was just blown away by what I saw, and I wanted to do something. And I didn't know what to do. I'm not a politician. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a, you know, writer. I didn't have a list of people to call that might be interested in this. I just didn't know what to do. So when, I think it was a Saturday morning, the Time magazine came, and I went in the living room and sat down and opened it up. And on the first page where the news was, it said that Al Gore was going to train 1,000 people to give that slideshow. And I was just real excited about it. And I applied, and I was accepted, and I went to work at it. Over the next 10 months, I gave the slideshow 43 times. That's like one a week. And I spoke to about 2,700 people. And one morning during this time, I'm giving these slideshows about climate change and what's happening and what's going to happen and so forth. I read, sat down at the kitchen counter with a cup of coffee and the newspaper. And there I read that the day before, so I had nothing to say about it, the day before, Congress had given $18 billion in tax credits to oil and coal and gas companies. I thought, $18 billion? And in the same bill, the article said in the paper, same bill, that the Congress had eliminated the tax credits for wind and solar. And I thought, the Congress has got this exactly backwards. And I thought, I wonder if in all these talks I've been giving, whether 18 people change their light bulbs. And I just thought, this is just not gonna work. And in the following days, I began to wonder if the method that results had of lobbying for microcredit and the diseases of the poor and all of that, whether that method could be used to lobby for climate change legislation. Now it seems like an obvious thing to do, but it sure did not then. And I certainly knew that I wasn't the guy to do it. So that's where Sam comes back into the picture. He said, well, he actually said I could do it. and he said he would help me. And of course he did help me. And I knew that if I went ahead, with other people, and what we would be doing would be like the greatest social achievement of all time. I mean, it was huge. And I knew that it was going to be an experiment. And I knew from the beginning that the oil companies and the coal companies and gas companies were not going to like what we're doing. And they had hundreds of millions of dollars, right? They got more than that. And I knew they weren't going to like it, and that they would spend huge amounts of money to stop us if we got successful. If we were to go ahead, we'd have to educate and organize really thousands of people across the country. And it seemed like way too much work. I was 68 years old at the time. So it all really seemed impossible. And then again, Sam, I'm talking to Sam every once in a while. He said, let me give you this quote from Buckminster Fuller. And here's a quote. It says, the things to do are the things that need doing, that you see need doing, that nobody else seems to see need doing. So I'll read it again. The things to do are the things that need to be done, that you see need to be done, but nobody else seems to see need being done. And it just was a smack me in the face. And I knew that lobbying Congress and the media for climate change legislation was certainly one of the things that needed to be done. Well, I'm in one of those situations where I was trapped, and there was no wiggle room for me. And so I called everybody I knew that might have some kind of a interest in this. And we had the first group start meeting. So in closing, you and I are trying to pull off the greatest social achievement of all time. Success is anything but assured. This challenge requires that you and I tell our stories in as powerful and as persuasive a manner as we can. So I say, let's do it. Let's go. All right. Thank you very much.
Bravo. Oh, Marshall, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And let's go to the phones here and share and empower each other. Because, I mean, really, the takeaway from tonight is that we're all storytellers, even if we don't feel it or even if we don't see ourselves in that role. And to really practice this, right? We only get better with the chance to learn and listen and have a safe space to really develop sharing our own stories. So if there's anyone on the line that would feel comfortable to initiate and really respond to either of these prompts. You know, what are you most proud of as a CCL volunteer, or what experiences helped expand your comfort zone and led you to unknown places? We'd absolutely love to hear and make space for each of you.
a champion of social change, but I'm doing it in a academic setting, which wasn't what I expected. But now I'm in a better place where I can talk to students, I can talk to community members about climate change and what they can do and how their voices can be heard. I talk to them about being engaged and what's going on. You know, I think a lot of them, you know, may not have even realized how significant climate change is an issue, but I implement that into my curriculum and into my classes. I want to do more with that. So I want it to be more where we talk to adults as well and educate adults about climate change and how they can make their voices be heard. So I don't know if that was how I was supposed to say my story.
Thank you. That's exactly what we were hoping for, people just being open and honest and themselves. And obviously, we actually have a lot of students on the line tonight. I'd love to especially hear from their perspectives and, you know, what would they love to hear from their own professors and instructors. But that's a perfect way to launch us, Kenya. Thank you.
Hey, Brett, it's Haley. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go for it, Haley.
So my story is a little different in terms of being involved with CCL. I got involved with CCL after this kind of like, I guess I'd call it a life-changing experience for me. I do theater at Drew University, and I'm trying to start a chapter on my campus. So I thought that I could make a difference by showing people. I did a performance art piece on my campus, and specifically because it was a women's and gender studies project, I wanted to focus it on how marginalized women are most affected by climate change because they work so closely with the land and soil and water and et cetera. And it's like the worse that our climate gets, the worse that these things will continue to get. But I feel like it really expanded my comfort zone because I had never done something that like public that like, but I felt like it honestly led me to want to do more performance art on this topic and in places where people don't get to see this problem. I feel like it's such a intimate way to address a problem that people can't ignore it.
Thank you so much for sharing, Haley.
I'll go. This is Rod again.
Yeah, go for it, Rod.
The thing that has stretched my comfort zone has been, I'm a scientist, so I came to this world of climate change as a scientist, and I thought, oh, this is simple. All I need to do is learn all the science and sit and explain the science to people, and then they will be instantly convinced by my powerful presentation that they just have to go change their way and start lobbying their members of Congress. And obviously that's wrong. And so I spent the last few months just reading and reading and reading, including the excellent stuff coming out of CCL, about how people change their mind and how they get more entrenched the more you hit them with facts. So I've been completely humbled by that. And now I'm starting to talk to people by listening to people. And I think that's stretched my comfort zone, obviously. I'm a scientist and I'm a Norwegian from Minnesota. So, you know, my ability to talk to people at and listen to people is not the natural place. So that's how I like to start out, because people can then breathe a sigh of relief that I'm not going to bombard them with facts. And then we start a conversation, and that's been working pretty well. So I'm proud of that as well, to be able to stretch myself a bit.
Thank you so much for sharing, Rod.
I'm a college student in Atlanta, and I just participated in the Lobby Day in November last year, because in October, Hurricane Michael rolled through South Georgia and took out about half of the roof on my family's house. So I had always been aware that climate change was something that was going on, was kind of just ticking away in the background of our lives, but I didn't realize how quick, I guess, the effects would reach us. and felt really kind of a deep emotional need to take some sort of action on it. So I ended up interning and getting on a plane, the first plane I'd ever been on, actually, to DC to help out. And that's the beginning of my involvement with CCL so far. And now I'm trying to do some outreach efforts on campus, stuff like that. But yeah, I think I just wanted to thank like the organization and Marshall for helping me have an avenue for expressing the need to help with this. So yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Appreciate your participation. You look like a brave, brave young man.
Thanks, Marshall.
Haley and Skylar, you are absolutely leading the vanguard for where we are going, and we're so grateful for your involvement. So thank you for taking the time to share your stories, too, as young adults.
Hi, this is Debbie. I would first like to give a tip from my sales days, which is if you don't feel like you have a story yet, you should feel free to borrow someone else's story. You know, I heard a CCLer say XYZ until you come up with your own. I've done that myself when I'm tabling and asking for people to write a constituent letter. I talk about my best friend's daughter and suggest they write a story like that when they're writing to their congressperson. But for myself, the moment I'm most proud of it as a CCL volunteer, I've been a CCLer for about 2 years now, and I'm most proud of the people that I've brought up behind me. You know, the newbies who I now look at who are great active members. And I think it's really like the relationships are really what keeps me going. And it also gives me a lot of relief from my anxiety, because now that I've like built up other CCLers, I can breathe and do a little bit less because they're helping do all the things I want to do. So I'm encouraging everyone to go out and like bring people up with you as you climb this ladder of engagement.
Brilliant. I love that example. Time for one more.
Okay, this is Alex Aminette. I live in a little town in Montana that's nobody wants to talk about climate change. And 2 years ago, I joined the Chamber of Commerce, and it's a wonderful group of shopkeepers. And that same summer, it's a very little town, that same summer, they closed the Yellowstone River here because it was very hot, the water temperature was very warm, and there was a fish-killing parasite that killed a lot of the fish. So it totally wrecked for 2 weeks fishing, tourism, recreation on the river, etc. And that hurt the shopkeepers. So I asked the Chamber of Commerce if I could talk with them about the carbon fee and dividend at the time. And all I did was I just went in and I just gave a 10-minute presentation to them about, you know, we are seeing climate change, and this is an example of it. Before I gave the presentation, I went to the quilt shop and I spoke to the gal who owns the quilt shop, and I said, did this affect your business? And she said, oh yeah, when the husbands don't go fishing, the wives don't go shopping. So I used that in my presentation, and I said, carbon fee and dividend will help Main Street, and it'll give you a dividend in your pocket. So then the next year, the Montana State University gave a whole presentation on climate change in Montana. I didn't have to give it. They had done their report, and I just made sure that they got to that Chamber of Commerce and gave a presentation. Then just last month, I gave a presentation about the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. And based on that presentation, I got a call from another town that says, we do economic development in Red Lodge, Montana. We're interested in your act. Can you send us more information about it? So it's had ripple effects. And it feels like, yay, we're finally getting the ball rolling in this place where nobody wants to talk about climate change. It's empowered me. I feel more comfortable now talking about it. And it's just, it feels like it's uncorked the, you know, the top on the bottle. So,
yeah. Thanks. Right. That's what you did.
Oh, I know that everyone else has their own stories too. For the sake of just ending on time tonight, I'll pass it back to you, Marshall. Do you have any closing reflections or words of wisdom you'd like to end with?
Another quote from James P. Grant. He's, you know, quickly became one of my heroes. And Grant was appointed head of UNICEF in the 1980s by Jimmy Carter. Grant just threw himself at especially diseases of children. And he was doing it through massive global inoculations. He saved more lives of children than I'm sure anybody in history. So here was a quote, and again, it kind of knocked me over. He said that each of the great social achievements of recent decades has come about not because of government proclamations, but because people organized, made demands, and made it good politics for governments to respond. It's the political will of the people that makes and sustains the political will of government. Go for it. I'm proud to be associated with all of you. And, you know, we're up to big stuff. Let's go for it.
Well, here is to that. If you haven't yet shared your story and would like to in the future, the link to that thread is available here. It's just simply cclusa.org/shareyourstoryforum. And if you have any questions or additional ideas, suggestions, resources that we can do to enhance these trainings, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is simply brett@citizensclimate.org. And a link to tonight's slides, if you're curious about any of the quotes that Marshall said or any of the other information we shared beforehand, is provided as well. Next week begins the next cycle. You're welcome to stick with us if you started midstream. But with tonight, have a wonderful rest of your evening, and thank you again for being on the line, everyone.
Yay!
Thank you, Brett. Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you, Marshall.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yay!